I think it is true to say that right now our era and our moment in history and time can be characterized as a time of lots of uncertainty, where so many things that we for a while had counted on as being pretty consistent, predictable, normal, steady, and stable are often found to be on a daily basis in a kind of upheaval or disarray. So it generates this perplexity, this confusion, and a lot of anxiety about where are things going, what can we rely on, what can we stand on, what is for certain. It's true out there in the world writ large. Maybe this kind of uncertainty about what to stand on is true in our own homes and communities locally. And it's probably true in our hearts too. The human heart is a complex place full of all its twists and turns. And so inside of us and outside of us, this is the question right now, what is for certain? What does one rest upon when so much is always in flux around us, always changing these days? It's not easy to navigate that it is true. In the face of all of that, what does a Christian say? How does a Christian respond to that dynamic, which is frankly always with us in certain respects and forms? So how about this? We do know as Christians that certain things are rock solid, are bedrock, and we can rest on them as for certain and true, that are changeless no matter what. Whatever happens out there in the world of, you name it, social media, the media, etc., whatever happens in our hearts, some things are true no matter what. Here is one thing that is true, bedrock, unshakable. Christians understand that God has come. God has come among us. That at a certain place, Bethlehem, a certain time, 2,000 or so years ago, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and God lives in the human race. He lives with his human family, and he became one of us and knows us and grew up and preached and taught and did works of wonder because the kingdom was ushered in, and then he dies and he rises, and from that time on, he lives among us in a way that is definitive and true. So for all that's changing in the world and that might be up in the air uncertain, as Christians, we say for certain, we know it's a historical, doctrinal, theological truth and fact that God has come. He has come. We can rest on that for sure. We can also say, and the gospel makes this very, very clear for today, as do other scriptures, that not only has God come once, he will come again. That is also an absolute, undeniable, unchangeable fact. We say it in the creed, he's going to come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. He'll come in power, he'll come in glory, he'll come in a way that is unmistakable, that is recognizable, that will bathe in brilliant light all that is in shadow, that will fix all that is broken, will mend all that needs healing and mending, will usher in the fullness of heaven on earth. In that day, there'll be no disputing that Jesus Christ is Lord. For anybody on the planet, we're all going to know, and we'll reach our ultimate, final, perfected end. God has come, and he will come again. Those two things are unchangeable. No matter what happens, we know that. And three, for today's purposes, okay, because we know he's coming back, we also know we must be prepared. We have to get ready. That we know, too. The readings also make that clear. He has come, he's come again, and we want to make sure that when he comes, we are ready to greet him, that our hearts and minds and selves are focused on God's breaking into our world, either in the subtle ways right now or in the fullness of the end of time. We must prepare. That we also know. That'll be true no matter what. We must always be in a state of preparation. Those truths that are unchangeable for us as Christians, he's come, he'll come again, and we must get ready for that coming. Those three things are what the season of Advent that we embark upon today, a whole new season, new year. Advent tries to wrap its arms around those dynamics and those truths. They're all at work in the season in some way, shape, or form. It's a lovely time of the year because in so doing, the church tries to bring us back to things that are true, and as we know they are true, they bring us peace. So Advent focuses on the fact that he has come. That's later in the season. We'll be closer to Christmas, it's all about. So we'll do a run-up later this season about the fact that he has come once. We'll get there later, but it's there in the season. The idea that he's going to come again is certainly heavy early in the season, so this Sunday for sure, and the days ahead too, so we turn our attention to the fact that he will come again, true. And this idea of getting ready, it runs through the entire season, being prepared, prepared, watchful, watchful. It's Advent from start to finish, okay? So this is the time of the year we're in to get ourselves around these three truths that are unchangeable and thereby to bring us a sense of steadiness, conviction, confidence, calm, truth, peace. That's the point. The question becomes, okay, since those things are true, God has come, he will come again, we must be ready. How does one get ready? If Advent is the readying season, how does one do so in a way that is going to be, let's say, consistent with good Christian spirituality, principles, and practice? Because there are better and worse ways to get ready for things, you might agree. For example, and this is key, in the gospel, one thing Jesus says, to grab a line out of that text, we should not be anxious. God does not want us to be people of frenzy or anxiety with everything all stirred up in a kind of panic. That's not the Christian ethos. It's not our way of operating. It's never been true for us. And he says it in the gospel that the anxiety that sometimes gets whipped up in our lives has the unfortunate effect of clouding our attempts to see God and see him around us in lots of ways. So the anxiety thing has to get toned down if we're going to get ready. There's a certain kind of preparation that is needed. So what do we do then to prepare our hearts in such a way that we're not going to be frenetic or frantic or crazy or anxious, because we don't need more anxiety, do we? That's true, right? The church, for a long time, has offered us certain Advent principles, Advent practices, Advent things to do, so that we can prepare in such a way that we're not going to be anxiety-ridden people, but are instead people who have focus and vision and a sense of calm, which the world really, really needs in every era, not just right now. What are those things? How do we get ready in a way that's going to keep us in a way that is focused and good? I'll offer three things. There's more, but these are three good ones for today anyhow, and they're bedrock. The first is this, and it's kind of picked up on the opening prayer for the Mass, the collect. I'm not sure if you caught it. The opening prayer is lovely. It's ancient. The season's very old, and this prayer is old with it. And opening prayer, we were imploring Jesus to come, and we want him to come to usher in his kingdom, and we want him to find, as the prayer says, righteous deeds at his coming. When you come to gather us at your right hand, the prayer says, may we have righteous deeds when you come. So the way to get ready for Advent number one, knowing that he's coming back and that God has come already, is to focus on good deeds. Good deeds. Which sounds kind of trite, but hear me out for a second on this. We all want a better world. We would not be here this morning if we did not. God plants in the human hearts a God-given desire for things that are better, more just, more wholesome, more holy, more well for the planet. So we all want that, but I think sometimes we get so caught up in the stuff we can't control, the large social currents, that we forget what we can work on more immediately. So I cannot control, you cannot control the major political scene in this country or some other one. I cannot control the climate, frankly. I cannot control the economy. I cannot control so many writ large things that are always acting upon me with all these things that are so anxiety producing. I can't do much about almost any of it except pray, which is certainly good. So rather than getting annoyed about that stuff, while it is important, I can ask God to come and fix those things. In the meantime, my good deeds focus on who's around me. I can be a person of kindness and gentleness, a person who listens, who tries to be patient, who tries to treat my neighbor well and with respect, who gives someone what is due, what they're owed, that's justice, who forgives, who shares with the poor, who is attentive to the sick. So just the basic works of mercy that I can do around me are things that create a sort of zone around me of calm and goodness and righteousness that, and it's multiplied, makes the world just a better place to be in. Well, God comes, that's what he wants. He wants us doing those things. They don't have to be anxious things or frenetic or frenzied things. Those are calm, ordered, good, appropriate things to do. And the big picture just kind of takes care of itself when we all do the little things well. So God is coming, he will come again, and he wants righteous deeds at his coming, and in that way we get ready in such a manner that our hearts are not anxious, because it generates peace and justice and goodness to do those good things for my neighbors. It brings me peace and you peace too. Second thing, and this is easy, this is, you've heard this before, righteous deeds and prayer. We should pray in Advent in a particular and special way. We should pray morning, noon, and night. We should pray as Christians all the time anyhow, but Advent is a particularly important time to pray because our prayer should get us in touch with how much we want the world to be mended, the realization that the writ large things only God can fix. We all help, of course, but I pray for him to come and fix things that are big and to fix my heart and to fix what is too difficult for me to mend on my own, which is frankly most things. In our prayer, we get to hear his voice, we get to understand him, we get to know him. Our prayer is in the confessional, it's at the Mass, it's in devotions, and it's the beautiful readings of the season. Advent is full of wonderful, wonderful scripture readings every day. So good deeds, prayer, and last piece, you've heard this before, will not be a surprise to you. We need quiet. We need silence in the Advent season very, very much. Our world is so noisy, you know, all this chaos around us, the chatter, 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 noise, noise, noise. Advent says, cut it out, quiet it down, slow it down, and let there be quiet in one's life, one's ears, one's heart. Let there be quiet as much as possible. That is how one gets ready for the Lord to come. The thing about silence is that when one sits in silence, what begins to well up inside of oneself, what reaches one's ears, the ears of the mind, are all the anxieties. Things creep in. When I'm in quiet, I start to have these thoughts jump into my head about worries about work, about my neighborhood, about my family, about my marriage, about whatever. They just kind of begin to rise in my head, and the silence unearths them. It brings them to the surface so that I can identify them. And then when I do, I get the chance to practice something important, because in the face of the anxieties, to quell them, I simply must say to myself, God has come, and he will come again. God has come, and he will come again. And as I rest on that, the anxieties start to drop. Nothing else can chase them away. Because the anxiety is about what's uncertain, but those things, God has come, he will come again, those are certain. Bedrock, pay dirt, certain. And they are consoling. He's come, he will come again. That consoles like nothing else can console, calms like nothing else can calm. So, God's come, he's come again, we must be ready. How does one get ready? In a way that is calm and good. We do good deeds, we pray, and we are quiet. Those things are critical, critical, critical. Which leads to the last simple point, and it is this. The whole idea of righteous deeds and prayer and quiet is about breeding something that Christians must understand in our bones. It's about fostering familiarity with the Lord. We have to know him. That's the whole point of the season, to get to know the one who is the Lord. We have to know him in our deeds, in our prayer, in our quiet. Because here's the thing, if one gets to know him, then one is not afraid of his coming back. We do not fear his second coming. Those of us who know him want him to come. We welcome him to come. Come fix our world. Come fix what is broken. Come fix my hearts. If we know him in the confessional, in the sacraments, in the scriptures, in our prayer, in our quiet, there is no need to fear his coming among us. A world out there of unbelievers, they fear it with reason. For those of us who know him, we're not afraid of his coming again. We want it to happen on his time, but we welcome it, we want it, we pray for it, because we know it's a good thing in its proper time. So that's the season. God has come, he will come again, we must be ready when he comes, and it's a good thing for us to know him when he comes. So may we find ourselves doing these things, good deeds, prayer, quiet. God will come, he will come again. May he find us ready when he comes.